Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. The name of the sermon is Get Wisdom. And verse number 5, God tells us, get wisdom. Get understanding. Verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principle or the top priority. There's two things in the Christian life that we're told to strive after when we get saved. One is the power of the Holy Spirit. When a Christian trusts Jesus as their Savior to forgive their sins, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside them, but He doesn't fill them unless they yield to the Holy Spirit. The other thing that we're told to do after we get saved, we're to strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're to strive for wisdom. Wisdom. And in your Bible, there is what you need to understand. You're there in Proverbs chapter 3. Go. Can you keep your finger there and go to the New Testament? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, when you mention wisdom nowadays, you have to understand there is a worldly wisdom and there is a godly wisdom. There is a wisdom that we're not supposed to be going after. There's a wisdom that's available out there that God says, that's not what I'm talking about. First of all, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in your New Testament. Let me read to you Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. So you can be wise in your own eyes, and God says, that's not the wisdom I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says verse 4. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. God says, that's bad wisdom. But in the power of God, look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet, watch, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Skip on down to verse 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Notice verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Just use those verses to show you there is a wisdom that God says, I don't want you to have. I don't want you striving after that wisdom. The wisdom that I want every Christian to have comes from above. Take your Bible now, you're in the New Testament, go back near Revelation to James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're to seek God's wisdom. We're to seek God's wisdom. I've known some very intelligent people. I've known some very quick-witted people. But I have not known a whole lot of godly, wise people. I do know some. But wisdom is something that we're supposed to strive to get. Notice James chapter 3. Look at verse number 14. Just trying to show you some things here. James chapter 3, look at verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, what wisdom? The wisdom that causes bitter envying and strife, where there's contention in the home all the time. It says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, watch, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Same thing as demonic. So there is a wisdom that comes from hell. It's the world's wisdom. And when you follow the world's wisdom, it brings strife and fighting and bickering. I love what one person said. One pastor talking to a couple, he said, this is the fifth time you've called me to your house. He said, I'll help you anytime you want. He said, Opened up the Bible to James chapter 3. He said, if you'll follow those verses right there and get God's wisdom, you'll never call me again for help. Because look what the next verses say. The next verses, verse 16, it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, and then he's going to describe God's wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there's a wisdom, once again, just giving you a different aspect, there's a wisdom that comes from above, from God, and there is a wisdom that comes from below. And God says, you as a child of God ought to know the difference. Don't strive for the wrong wisdom. Get God's wisdom, like we read in Proverbs. Now, the next place I'd like you to go is you can go back to Proverbs there, past Psalms, and just kind of listen to me just for a second. Go back to Proverbs. While you're going there in your Bible, what is wisdom? So what is this wisdom? God tells us that wisdom, in Job 28:28, it says, unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, fearing God. In Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. I'm sorry, in Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the first step in getting wisdom is fearing the Lord. That means recognizing that God is ever present and sees everything that we do. If you don't fear God, then you don't care what God thinks about what you're doing. If you fear God, you realize God's in the closet as much as he's in the street, as much as he's in your house, as much as he's in church. And he isn't here any more than he's in your house. If you fear God, you realize he sees everything you do. And then you're living as if he sees that. There is no concept of wisdom until you first fear the God of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is not determined by what you believe. The fear of the Lord is determined by what you do. If you think about what I just said, one who fears the Lord believes the Bible and applies the Bible to their life. You say, so let me give you another aspect. I said, wisdom is fearing the Lord. Wisdom is also, the word wisdom, if you look it up, the word wisdom, it means to know yourself, to know your God, and to know your neighbor. When you read the book of Proverbs, like we're going to look at tonight, God shows you two paths you can take, the fool or the wise. The fool does this, the wise man does this. When you read Proverbs, you learn about your God. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You'll read that in Proverbs. And you'll also learn about how to categorize people. The strange woman, the strange man, the wise man, the simple, the fool. There's all types of people in Proverbs. And God says, you as a Christian have to be able to say, ooh, that's bad because that goes against the Bible. That's good because that goes with the Bible, and you got to differentiate. You say, that's judging. You haven't heard nothing yet. Wait till we get into judgment, okay? I know that's a thing of the society nowadays. So wisdom means, the word wisdom means to know you, your God, and your neighbor. That's what the word wisdom means. Wisdom is also, let me give you one more aspect of wisdom. Wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. When you decide to see things God's way, not your way, that means you're seeking wisdom. I want to know what God says about that. What does God think about that? That means you're seeking wisdom. I want God's view on that, whatever the subject of the topic is. Look at, you're there in Proverbs. Now look in Proverbs chapter 3. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 3. I know we started in Proverbs 4, and look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Look back at Proverbs chapter 2. You're there in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 2. Look at verse 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her, stop. All through the book of Proverbs, wisdom is in the female gender. You say, why? I don't know why. We'll ask God when we get to heaven. But all through Proverbs, wisdom is referred to as her. She crieth in the open places. If you get her wisdom, you get you get happiness and peace and riches and all this that come with wisdom. He says here, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Have you ever watched somebody go treasure hunting? You know, you've seen the people waving the wands over the... What you doing? Searching for gold. Man, you got to want it. Same thing with wisdom. If thou searchest for her wisdom as for hid treasures. Do you know how you get wisdom? You don't get it by accident. You get it because you ask God for it and you seek for it. If you seek it with all your heart, God says, do you really want wisdom? You really want my wisdom? Then God says, then do you? That's why, Christian, it's important that you do what you do with your heart. Put yourself into it. You say, well, great. Bible reading. Every day? Every day? Come on now. Are you trying to occupy my life? Any diet tries to do that. If you want success in this diet, read this book. It's that thick. Okay? Then eat this food. Every meal? For how long? Everybody wants to occupy you. Every day, read your Bible. You got to want it. You got to want it. If you search for her as for hid treasures. That's why most people, I'd love to be a help to you. There's other Bible reading plans other than this. I've got many Bible reading plans. You want to read the Bible through once in a year? It's 4 chapters a day. You want to read the Bible through 3 times? It's what? 12 chapters a day. This just so happens to be 6. You'll definitely read your Bible through in a year with this, a little over. I'm just saying there's more than this. But Christian, everybody wants your time. Where does God fit in? You got to want it. Now, I'm not that, I know some people, they can do this with their Bible reading. When I get up, my alarm goes off. First thing I grab's my Bible. I tried that 3 times, and I short-circuited on Jesus. Okay? I did. You do this, and then next thing I know, there's a drool puddle right there, and I got to get water on my face, get up, do some... I got to get my blood circulating, and then I can focus on my Bible. But I can't make the Bible the first thing I touch in the morning, or I'm hurting. Neither can I pray right when I get up. Yeah, roll the sheets back, get on your knees, and it ain't going to happen. I need to get up and get the blood circulating. Sometimes I'm so tired, I can't kneel down and pray. I need to walk. Because if I kneel down, now sometimes I kneel. Many times I lay on my face. But sometimes I can't because I'm so tired. That's your call. Sometimes I need to just go for a walk. And walk around and talk to the Lord. Here, you got to want it. Look at verse number 6. You're there in Proverbs chapter 2. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That tells me I only get wisdom from one source, God's Word. I got to have the right Bible. If you don't have a King James Bible, that means you have over 3,000 words not retranslated, but missing from the New Testament. Missing. And didn't Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? That's why I use a King James Bible. But God says, wisdom comes from his mouth, from God's word. I get wisdom from this. All of God's word gives wisdom because it's the mind of Christ. Specifically tonight, now go to Proverbs 1. Tonight, Proverbs is given to us to give wisdom to the simple. The book of Proverbs will do more to build character and integrity than any other book of the Bible. And isn't there a need for character and integrity today in our society? Proverbs is, I wanted to show you something. Look at verse 1. Ready? So here we are in Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Okay, what's the word proverb mean? If you wanted to know the definition of the word proverb, it means this: more than meets the eye. So when you read a proverb, you're reading a truth with much spiritual depth to it. That's why people like Proverbs, because you can read the verse and then think about it. But the word proverb itself defined means more than meets the eye. So think about what you're reading. Think about it with the Lord helping you. That's Proverbs 1. Know this. Verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction. That's the purpose of Proverbs. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction. Now watch this. Of four things. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. God says wisdom is given to all of us as God's children so you can get in wise instruction. Justice, the word justice means morally just or righteous. The word judgment means, listen, to judge or criticize the difference between right and wrong. And how many times in our society do you hear, don't judge me? You can't be a successful Christian unless you judge. God tells you the Bible was given to us, so you have to have some measure of what's right and wrong. And it can't be your feelings, it can't be your emotions, it has to be the Bible. If you want something that doesn't change, your emotions and feelings change. So God says the Proverbs is given to us as a book in the Bible to instruct us proper judgment. So you can determine what does God approve of and what does God disapprove of. Judgment, what's the last word there? And equity. The word equity means the quality of being equal or fair. It also means impartial. So four things you get when you read the book of Proverbs. Notice this, verse 4. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. The word simple. What's the word simple mean? You'll read the word simple over and over again in Proverbs. It means unfolded. Listen closely. When you're a young person, your life is simple and unfolded without things stacked on top of each other. But as you get older, your life gets more and more complicated, more pressures, more folds. God tells us the book of Proverbs is for young people. So before your life gets complicated, you can receive the instruction of wisdom and get God's view on it. Look, if you don't have time as a teenager to read your Bible, you ain't never going to have time. Oh, I'm just so busy. Really? Now? You don't know busy. That's why as a teenager, you build your character and your discipline now, and you get God's thoughts in your head. The book of Proverbs, I love this, for every Christian, especially for the young people, should be the most marked book in your Bible. Underlined, marked, circled. Ooh, that's neat. Ooh. You should see my wife's Bible when she was a teenager. Proverbs is all marked up. You know what our youth director taught her? You ought to be reading Proverbs every day. Look at her Bible. It looks like a chicken dipped its feet in ink and walked all over the Bible. I mean, it's awesome. She'll tell you, Christian, if you missed that part of your life and you didn't get saved till you were later, my goodness, then start putting that wisdom in your mind now. God says, I want you to receive this. It's for the simple and the young man. Look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, that word that means more than meets the eye, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Proverbs are short statements of truth and wisdom for practical living, and they compare constantly. That's why people love the book of Proverbs. My dad used to call Proverbs, he says, I think Proverbs, when I was young, he would say, Proverbs is the most timeless book of the Bible. It doesn't matter when you were born, where you are, you can read a proverb and think about it and apply it to your life. My dad used to say that. Now, with that in mind, I want you to just, okay, look at Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to just deal a few things in Proverbs and then we're Proverbs. Look at chapter 12, look at verse 15. You know, when we read Proverbs 1:5 and it said, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, And a man of understanding shall... That's already what a wise man does. You'll find as you read Proverbs, wise men know how to keep their mouth shut, and fools talk a lot. A fool's mouth is his destruction. A fool's mouth calleth for strokes. So you find out, as you, I mean, the moment you start reading chapter 1, it's like, wow, a wise man hears and listens. Teach me what's right. Teach me the Bible. I want to learn what's right. That's wise. A fool says, look at chapter 12, you're right there, look at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. That you can sum up a fool right there. You can't tell them nothing, you can't teach them nothing. Everything they do is all according to them, and their whole life centers around them. The backslider in heart, Proverbs, is filled with his own ways. A fool, you should be able to tell a fool. See, you can't come up to me as pastor and go, Pastor, are they a fool? You can't do that. Because my job is to pray and help everybody. Amen? I can't go, ooh, they're a fool. Stay away from them. Watch this, Christian. That's your job. Your job is to read Proverbs, figure out who's wise, and figure out who's fools, and stay away from the fools. Because Proverbs 13 says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You better know who is a fool and who's not. How do I learn that? Read Proverbs. Take notes. What does a fool do? They talk a lot. They don't receive instruction. Everything they do is right in their own eyes. Nobody tells me what to do. Oh, really? Does God ever tell you what to do? I wouldn't brag about that. That's not the way a Christian talks. Amen? That's the way they talk. Nobody tells me what to do. Careful. You're talking like a fool. Y'all see how you can take traits from Proverbs, and you have to be able to apply. That person is acting like what God says is a wise person. And that person is acting like a fool. Fools make a mock at sin. They're always making fun of what's wrong. Christians don't do that. Sin and wrong should disgust you. I gave a thing on yesterday morning when right before we went soul winning, but I shouldn't have, but I read an article on how drag queens are reading to children fairy tale books. It's in California. It's in Boston, it's in New York, and it's in Chicago. I read that, and you start seeing these, bleh. I mean, how many of you want to be a drag queen? And all these little kids are raising their hands. I thought, dear God, what's that doing to the next generation? Fools make a mock at sin. But a Christian responds when they see wrong, they're like, oh, that nauseates me. That makes me sick. Fool traits, wise traits. Watch this. If you go ahead, go to Proverbs 10. You're there in Proverbs 12. Let's just look at a few more. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. What a verse. You know what we were taught at Bible college, and this was the verse behind it. It doesn't say 10 minutes or longer on the phone will get you in trouble. But this is what Dr. Hiles used to say. He used to say, watch your conversations. Normally you can say what you need to say in about 10 minutes. Watch what happens after 10 minutes. The conversation gets negative. Then you start talking about people. Then you start criticizing. And it just goes downhill. He said, just watch your time on the phone. He said, just keep your conversations to around 10 minutes and you don't get in trouble. Where'd he get that from? Because in a multitude of words, sin is not wanting. In other words, it's like the more people open their mouth, the more they say things they regret. Ooh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I shouldn't have talked about that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Do you see what you learn from Proverbs? It's timeless. Which we'll come back to that. Let's look at one more thing. Look at Proverbs 29. Here's a verse. Proverbs 29. Look at verse 11. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, look at verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. So a fool speaks everything that comes to his mind. When somebody says, well, if I think it, I just say it. Really? You don't think how it's going to affect people around you? You don't think who could take it wrong? That's not being wise. That's called a loose cannon, right? A fool speaks everything that comes to his mind. Well, if I think it, I say it. Don't brag about that. God says, think about what comes out of your mouth. how is this going to affect that person? How is what I'm talking about going to affect that person and that person? That's wisdom. That's wisdom, and that's how you keep from hurting people. Amen? Proverbs 29. Now, go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Okay? This is important for you to understand. Proverbs chapter 10, and look at verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Here's the first thing I'd like you to know about verse 1. In Proverbs, it's 31 chapters, but the Proverbs, the dark sayings, the phrases that compare truth and error don't start until Proverbs 10. Proverbs 1 through 9 is spent telling you what truth is, that you can know truth, and how to tell the difference between truth and error and why you need it. That's chapters 1 through 9. In other words, God just doesn't start giving you wisdom in chapter 1. He starts saying, before you learn wisdom, there's some things that'll keep you from learning and being wise. What are they? In chapters 1 through 9, you can make your own list, but let me just show you something. Go to chapter 1. Look at the first thing that God says will keep you from learning wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1. I just wanted to whet your taste buds on this. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what the first thing that'll keep you from learning wisdom is? God says in the Bible, you better watch the crowd you run with. If sinners entice thee and say, why don't you come party with us? Hey, why don't you come do this? God says, don't consent to that. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be nasty. Just watch who you hang around. Because if you're hanging around fools, you can't get God's wisdom. First thing, watch your crowd. Chapter 1, verse 10. As you go through it, here's the next thing that'll keep you from learning wisdom. You're in chapter 1, look at verse 20. Watch this. Wisdom, look at verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24, watch. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. I call that one of the scariest passages in the Bible. Because what will keep you from getting wisdom? Your ability for God to correct you. You can't tell God no. The moment you say, God, stop, God says, you don't tell me no. Because I tried to give you my counsel, I tried to give you my word, and you said, I don't want it. God says, when your calamity comes, I'll laugh at you. The only time in your Bible that you read that. To me, those are like, you mean when the heartache comes, God laughs? What's he trying to say? Christian, if you want wisdom, you have to be able to let God tell you no. In other words, does anybody tell you what's wrong? Does anybody correct you? I don't know that you ought to bend at every wind, but I know this. If the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart and says, knock it off, then I highly suggest you knock it off. You say, why? Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Not being able to handle correction. Let's look at one more. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. What else will keep you from wisdom? You got to want it. It only comes from God. And yes, the book of Proverbs is given to teach us wisdom. But watch this, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And then he tells you, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. What's he talking about? God's trying. The strange woman's the prostitute. You say, what's a strange woman? God made a woman for a man, and they're supposed to get married. They're not supposed to be having sex outside of marriage. And what will keep you from wisdom is the strange woman. What's the strange woman? That's the woman that's the stranger that God didn't make for you. Amen? He's talking about immorality. Her steps go down to hell. When you're involved in immorality, you can't get wisdom. So Proverbs 5, I'll let you read it on your own. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Three chapters in a row are given to stay away from immorality. You stay away from the pornography, stay away from the definitely prostitutes, okay? Stay away, and in our society, where else can you go and hear sex outside of marriage is wrong except church? You won't hear it on the internet, you won't hear it on the news, you definitely won't hear it in the public school. This is the only place you hear it. You say, why do you preach it? Because God says so. And I personally want our people, I want you to learn God's wisdom and what will keep you from that immorality. Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is personified, and the whole chapter in Proverbs 8, we won't look at it tonight, but it's wisdom saying it's the Lord Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 makes one more plea to be wise and stay away from immorality, and then chapter 10 through 31 starts the Proverbs and the comparing. Turn one more place in your Bible. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So why should we read, preacher, in the Bible reading chart, we're reading Proverbs like almost 12 times. Why do you read Proverbs over and over again? Because it's eternal. It's not like Tale of Two Cities or, you know, Pearl of Great Price or all the books, you know, that I had to read in high school. It's not a novel, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. It's an eternal book. And I'll tell you one more time. You ought to read your Bible with your pen in your hand. And when God speaks to your heart, oh, look at that. Wow. That's a good... You ought to mark the verses God tells you. Never come to your Bible without a pen. Always come to your Bible with a pen or a pencil. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, our suffering, our hard times, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see the end of verse 16? It says, the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me close with this. Do you realize when you read your Bible, it's the only source of life on this earth? Everything else is dying. The earth is slowing down. There's an atomic clock that they have to reset. Go figure. The sun is shrinking an inch a year because it burns off. Say, how do you know? They went and measured it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, how'd they do that without getting burned? They did it at nighttime. No, I'm just kidding. Our inward man is renewed day by day. When you open your Bible, it's the only source of life on this earth. That's why the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Everything else is dying. Why should you read it every day? Because it feeds you, your inward man, and it renews you. It's what feeds your soul. This book is eternal. I hope what you do in your house, I hope this inspires you. I wanted to give you a taste tonight of Proverbs and how God says, this is the book I put in the Bible for young people and to teach everybody my wisdom. It's a wonderful book. If you've not read it, if it's not marked in your Bible, then pick the Proverbs a day plan. Okay, today's the 2nd. Read Proverbs 2. Tomorrow is December 3rd. Read Proverbs 3. We call it a proverb a day. In the Bible reading plan, I would have stuck with it just whatever day of the month it was, Proverbs, but you got to know people. Every time they hit February 28th, then they skip three chapters. Okay, and go back to, instead of reading Proverbs 28, 29, 30, and 31, then did y'all catch that? Okay, at any rate. So the Bible reading chart, it just keeps you on course, wherever you're at in Proverbs. I hope this is a help to you. Wisdom is the principal thing. And if I could get you to hunger after wisdom, dear God, help me be wise your way. You know the problems it keeps us from? And the strife it keeps us from in life? If we could get God's wisdom and do things God's way. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.